Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC, and happy 100th birthday this year to the Grand Concourse, the majestic divided Bronx thoroughfare that was built in 1909 and that has been a boulevard of change. How much change? Take a listen. From Buddy Rich to Funkmaster Wizard Wiz, and we could have played a whole lot of other stuff in there, representing change on the Grand Concourse. Certainly the avenue has reflected the immigration of the last 100 years in its lanes and crosswalks as well. With me now to tell some stories of the Grand Concourse, maybe collect some from you, and talk about this series of exhibits, including some events this weekend, an opening reception tonight. They're going to have Daniel Libeskind up there this week, is Holly Block, director of the Bronx Museum of the Arts. Hi, Holly. Welcome to WNYC.
Thank you.
So the Grand Concourse was conceived of before the automobile, before there were cars to drive on it, wasn't it?
Yes. It actually was conceived in 1870 and then began the construction in 1890, and then it was completed in November 1909, 100 years ago.
What was the original idea?
It was designed by an Alsacian-born engineer, Louis Riess, inspired by the Champs-Élysées in Paris. And it was really a parkway to connect from Manhattan Central Park to the two northern parks in the Bronx. It was a true gateway. And it was originally titled the Grand Boulevard and then later Grand Concourse. And November 24th will be the official celebration. But tonight we are opening a fantastic past exhibition. It's a year-long project that the Bronx Museum has been working on with the Bronx Historical Society and a number of partners on a three-part exhibition. And tonight we open the past, which includes about 15 artists from the last 100 years who have depicted the Grand Concourse in their artwork.
All right. Your phone is breaking up a little bit. We may have to call you back, but let's see if you can get into a position where it's stable. So the way you describe it, and from what I've read, even though we think of it as a major urban thoroughfare today, it was really this connective tissue between parkland and farmland, yes?
Yes, definitely. It was a fantastic roadway. And also originally the underpasses were built to accommodate the beer trucks going from the north farmland south to the city.
The beer trucks?
Yeah, the beer trucks as they passed from Manhattan up to the north. All of the roadways, especially when you look at Fordham, the intersection of Fordham, there's an underpass there, and there are a number of underpasses, and they were built in as means of transportation with the horse and buggies.
How about that? All right, listeners, do you have a favorite Grand Concourse story? Do you have a favorite building on the Grand Concourse? 212-433-WNYC. We only have a few minutes for this, but you can call us at 212-433-9692 or post it to WNYC.org. Click on Brian Lehrer Show. Any Grand Concourse story from your childhood or from today? And do you have a favorite building on the Grand Concourse? 212-433-WNYC or WNYC.org. Click on Brian Lehrer Show. As you look up along the Grand Concourse, it seems like all the buildings are the exact same height. And, of course, there's a lot of Art Deco there. Were they all built over a very short period of time?
They were actually built from the teens all the way up until the 50s. I think one of the last buildings was in the 50s. And you might not know, but the Bronx Museum actually has a new, brand-new building designed by Arquitectonica, so that's the first new architecture on the concourse since the 60s.
Hmm.
But there was an incredible wave of building, and as many people know, it was considered the Park Avenue of the Bronx. It was tree-lined. People were encouraged to stroll. Before people had air conditioning, lots of wonderful history flowed onto the street curbs, and a lot of discussion went on. Plus, there were very famous people who grew up along the concourse who are quite known. The exhibition that we've done at the museum is divided into three parts. So this is the historical part. Then this summer we're commissioning a number of new artists to do new work about the concourse. And then the most exciting will be in the fall, which will be in the future. We're doing an ideas competition with Design for Public Space. And there's a website, grandconcourse100.org. And new designs, we're encouraging bold new ideas from street furniture to new designs related to the concourse.
So 100 years and going forward with Holly Block, director of the Bronx Museum of the Arts, as we talk about the anniversary of the Grand Concourse. Janet in Manhattan has a favorite building. Hi, Janet.
Hi. The Loewy's Paradise Theater. That was the place you got taken if your date really liked you. And the ceiling had clouds and stars, and the clouds moved, and there were silhouettes of people sitting around. And if you went there, then you knew that this was going to be a good romance.
Did you know Crumb's Ice Cream Parlor?
And yes, the second thing was that we would always go to Crumb's. They had the best hot fudge sundaes, not to mention all their wonderful chocolates.
Well, I don't know if you knew Robert.
Sundaes.
If you knew Robert in Manhattan, who also posted that he grew up about eight blocks away from the Grand Concourse in the 50s and 60s. He says ours was a blue-collar neighborhood, and the Grand Concourse was more of an upper-middle-class, professional and predominantly Jewish neighborhood. It was, to us kids in my area, the place to go. There were beautiful tree-lined promenade divide in the middle of this wide boulevard with tree-lined sidewalks and quite beautiful Art Deco apartment buildings with doormen and concierges. And then he goes on to talk about the Lowe's or Loewy's Paradise and Crumb's. Do you know, Holly, what happened to the Lowe's?
Loewy? Yeah. The Loewy's, as it's called, was completed in 1929. It was the largest theater in New York City, in all of New York City, and recently has been renovated and is being used. The Bronx Museum hopes to do a big event there next fall. So it's fantastic.
Michael in Far Rockaway, you're on WNYC. Hi, Michael.
Well, good morning, and I look forward to coming to the conference tomorrow. And want to mention that there was a film, 1939, Leo Fuchs, called American Matchmaker, or American Shadchan in Yiddish. And the matchmaker is a young, modern, dressed in the style of the 30s, very elegantly. And he wants to attract more of the juppies, the Jewish urban professionals of that era that were single. So he opens a modern office with all the Art Deco furniture up on the Grand Concourse in the Bronx.
All right. Thank you, Michael. And Michelle in Maplewood has a Grand Concourse memory. Hi, Michelle.
Hi, Brian. Yeah, a flood of memories. But one of the funniest was that there was a Buster Brown shoe store on 161st, I believe, in the Grand Concourse. I grew up on Walton Avenue and spent my life on the Grand Concourse, but it was very sci-fi. They introduced an X-ray machine, and you could walk across this little tunnel trying on your new shoes, and parents would sit there and watch the X-ray go by. It was, you know, the biggest thing in the neighborhood, and it's terrifying to think now how many kids spent half their life walking up and down this little tunnel so parents could see their feet. And also,
and how many of those kids grew up to get foot cancer?
Exactly.
Hopefully nobody.
Well, I'm still here with two good feet, but
that's good.
Seeing President Kennedy go by in 1960 during the campaign in a convertible right in front of me. I mean, I don't remember any Secret Service men. I'm sure they were there, but thousands of people. My mother took me, and I felt like I could reach out and touch him.
On the Grand Concourse. Thank you. Lou in Rockland, you're on WNYC with a Grand Concourse memory.
Absolutely. My name is Lewis Morris, and I would say 50 to 100 times people have said, oh, the Lewis Morris apartments on the Grand Concourse, about 174th, 175th. But I'm L-O-U-I-S. That's spelled L-E-W-I-S. In addition of walking down the concourse to Yankee Stadium, to the Concourse Plaza Hotel where the baseball players used to stay, and also north on the concourse to the Edgar Allan Poe house that I used to go to. Of course, others have talked about Jan's and on the offside, as well as Crumbs.
Now you can walk. Now you can live on the Grand Concourse, walk to Yankee Stadium, and pay $2,500 for a seat.
Very good. I thank you.
Thank you. Jane in the Bronx is calling from the Grand Concourse.
I am calling from the Grand Concourse.
And?
Kingsbridge Avenue.
Uh-huh. North End.
So I have a favorite building. I'm not sure exactly where it is, but it's a church now, but it began as a synagogue. It's got the remnants of a synagogue, and then another church, and then another church, and it seems very emblematic of the changes of the Grand Concourse. I'm
it's
in my car today,
building.
But I'm usually on a bicycle, and I just want to make a little plug for this would be a beautiful place to allow bicycles to roam slightly more freely than they can right now.
Good one, Jane. Thank you. Now, wait, Saul in Queens has something to say about those churches, I think. Hi, Saul.
Yes, hi, good morning. Thanks for taking my call. I grew up in Walton Avenue also. Every one of those stone churches now, from the like the 150s to the 170s, they're all synagogues. You can see the Star of David chiseled in.
Used to be synagogues.
Every single one of them.
Yeah. Do you know about that, Holly Block?
Yeah, there's quite a few, and even just off the 161st Street, which is now not only a synagogue but also a senior citizens center. And many of them have been reclaimed. And actually, the Bronx Museum's original building on the corner of 165th and the Grand Concourse was a synagogue that was built in the 60s and that the city purchased in 1982, and we've been currently housed there since 1982.
How about that? So the Grand Concourse in the Bronx, 100 years old this year. Holly Block, director of the Bronx Museum of the Arts. Tell us what it is that you have tonight that people can go to for free. Is that right?
Yes, we have a big open house from 6 to 10, and then at 6:30 we're heading off the symposium, which will be a two-day symposium tonight and tomorrow, starting 9:30 until 7, where we have a number of historians speaking about the concourse, including Connie Rosenblum, who's just about to launch a book on the concourse, along with the Bronx Historical Society and a number of scholars and historians. And then tomorrow we'll start with Daniel Liebskin, who actually did grow up in the Bronx for a period as well.
All right. And we have more information with a link on our website to the Bronx Museum of Art, including their Bronx, the Future of the Bronx contest. So Holly Block, congratulations, and thanks a lot for joining us.
Thank you.
And the WNYC Culture Department is also collaborating on some of the events going on at the Bronx Museum. They'll be there tomorrow to record the Daniel Liebskin lecture. We will post that next week as part of the Talk to Me podcast series at WNYC.org. In case you're interested, I'll be one of the guests on the New York One Reporters Roundtable tonight, talking about city and state issues around 7:30 and 10:30 on New York One tonight. Other than that, have a great weekend. Talk to you Monday. Brian Lehrer on WNYC.